You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is going to be myself and Brendan Kleen getting into some draft talk, getting into some of the evaluations, and maybe between the Phoenix Suns and the Cavs, who needs a pick more? That's going to be the debate Brendan and I are really going to be talking about our show with, or leading this crossover show with Locked On Suns and Locked On Cavs with. But first up, I'm going to talk about the Cavs coaching search a little bit. So the Cavs are in a situation now where Larry Drew is gone. Larry Drew is no longer with the Cavs, according to the team in a press release sent out on Thursday. The Cavaliers and Larry Drew have mutually parted ways. So according to the Cavs, this is their quote from Kobe Altman, quote, "We have great respect and appreciation for Larry and the job he did as the head coach of the Cavaliers for nearly the entire 2018-19 campaign. He brought professionalism, class, and steady leadership both this past season and prior 4 years. Larry and I had a productive discussion about this past season, the future of the franchise, and the search process that we will launch shortly regarding the head coaching role. Larry respectfully declined to participate in the search process and will not be returning to the Cavaliers. All of us in Cleveland wish Larry nothing but the best going forward." Larry issued his Joan Generic PR-y kind of statement, etc., etc. And then we got some reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski as well as others. The Cavs are going to be opening up their search for a head coach. The Cavs are going to run, quote, "a wide-ranging process, but experienced NBA assistants like Utah's Alex Jensen, Portland's David Vanderpool, Portland's Nate Thibodeau, Denver's Wes Unseld Jr. are among some of the candidates to be expected. Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, who has the greatest nickname ever, Ham Slamwich." So like immediately that dude has to be considered for the job if we're being honest. Darvin Ham's in there as well. And then you get into the coaching search. The college head coaching ranks will be part of the search as well. According to Woj, and this is something that Joe Vardon and Jason Lloyd reported originally months ago, and I have heard as well, is that the Cavs are going to be looking for a guy who can do player development, that's going to be quite a premium factor in the coaching process. So that means, you know, there's no fear based on the Shinnish reporting that the Cavs are going to end up with like a Tom Thibodeau or some veteran coach who's going to come in and try to push them to be like the 8 seed. So if you're worried about them hiring someone like a Dwayne Casey type, this would seem to indicate that the Cavs are not going to go in that direction. Of the names we see on that list, I think Alex Jensen's sort of the one that initially hops out. Konrath Kaczmarek, the former site manager from Field the Sword and a guy who I know really, really well and really respect, is a guy that has connections to the Cavs franchise. It's not as much a direct one, but he started coaching in 2017 at St. Louis University. He took the Canton Charge job in 2011. He was the D-League Coach of the Year in 2013. He was just very successful there. The Charge were good at that time. And then he turned that Jazz coaching job, turned that Canton Charge job into an assistant job with the Jazz, where he's been since 2013. He's been there ever since. He also coaches in Germany. He is from Utah, so like he's naturally kind of connected to the Jazz. That's like comfort zone for him, but this would be an opportunity for him to be an NBA head coach. He's also on the German national team staff as of 2015 under Chris Fleming. So this is a guy that kind of jumps out because there is that connection there. He was played professionally overseas. He's done some of the player development work. And in the G League, of course, that's a big part of what you're doing is player development more than anything else. There's also, you know, Jordy Fernandez is on that list and other stuff like that. If you look at some of the other names that are on there, Wes Sunfeld Jr. is kind of one of them that also jumps up because he also comes from Denver, who's been one of the success stories in the league this year. TJ McBride, who covers the Denver Nuggets for BSN Denver, is one of the great reporters covering the Nuggets, who are in the playoffs now and everything like that. One of the guys covering that team, Wes Sunfeld, is he wrote a story for Mile High Sports that I will put in the show notes about how Wes Sunfeld Jr. is on the path to being a head coach. Now, according to McBride's story, he has been a guy that has been really on the rise in Denver. So he was promoted to the elite assistant under Mike Malone in the 2016-17 season. He is regarded as the architect of what is the Nuggets now a top 10 defense. So if you're looking at the Nuggets and you say, how do they have a top 10 defense when they have Nikola Jokic? Now, that's a guy that if you think about Kevin Love or some of the other players the Cavs have, he's a guy that could come in and help kind of scheme away some of those things. He's been part of a situation where he has really grown and helped this team that was a young core with Jokic and Jamal Murray and Gary Harris and Will Barton, frankly, and helped them grow from that 33-win team in 2014-15 to 54 wins this season, the number two seed in the Western Conference this year. He's got 13 years in the NBA, so maybe he's more experienced than some of the other guys. He is one of the names I think that would really make some sense. He's a guy that I think fits sort of the mold. He's one of the guys that fits just sort of that experience that you would think the Cavs might want. Played in the NBA, coach of the Warriors, coach with the Orlando Magic as well. So there's something in the Wizards. So there's just something there with Wes Unfeld that I think could really make some sense. He is, I think, someone, again, that just comes from a good situation and comes from a team where things could just kind of progress in the direction that you think will make sense for the Cavs. Now, it's too early for us to really know exactly who's going to interview. Well, Kobe Altman is speaking on Friday at 11 p.m., so we're going to know more about the coaching search and what maybe his plan for the offseason is. Then the Cavs are not doing exit interviews with players, which I'm a little bit annoyed by, frankly, but we won't hear from Kevin Love or any of these guys really after. If they didn't speak on the last day of the season, they're gone. Like, Jetty Osman, to my understanding, is already back and, like, headed back to Turkey. Like, this has sort of been dispersed, and this group is really separating now. So we're not going to hear from a lot of these guys if they're on the team next year until the fall, which kind of sucks. Or maybe we'll hear from Kevin Love in the summer with FIBA, which he says he's going to play in. But the season's over, and now we turn to the coaching search. We turn to the draft stuff and all the stuff that is really going to shape the next season of Cavs basketball. Friday will be the tiebreaker for the Cavs and the Suns. So when we talk to Brennan, that is going to be one of the things that we'll sort of touch on a little bit. But one of those two teams will have the official second slot. One will be in the third as far as how far they could fall in the draft lottery, which takes place about a month from today. Now, again, this is very early in the process. We need to see what Kobe Altman says on Friday. Not really a shocker that Larry Drew won't be back. It makes sense. We'll see what they actually do with player development and who they end up hiring, how fast this process goes. We'll see guys that are, you know, all these guys that we've listed here, Alex Jensen, David Vanderpool, Nate Thibodeau, Wes Unseld Jr., etc., Darvin Ham. They're all on playoff teams that are beginning series this weekend. We don't know exactly when these guys are going to be available for interviews. You know, let's say Denver goes on a postseason run, you know, does Unseld Jr. wait to do an interview until the season's over, or do the Cavs need to get a break in the series for something like that to happen? Like, these are things we don't know. These are things we kind of have to see how they play out, but expect more in the coming days, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with myself and Brendan. I think you'll enjoy this conversation between him and I. Find him on Twitter at BrendanClean14. He's the co-host of the Locked On Suns podcast and a writer for the Step Back and the lead voice at Bright Side of the Sun. If you aren't already, please subscribe to this podcast and all of the Locked On podcasts on Himalaya, the new Himalaya podcast app, which has new features debuting all the time. And you can also find Locked On Cavs wherever else you get podcasts. But we're going to be right back, and then we're going to hear from me and Brennan. So talk to you then. Today's podcast is brought to you by Wyze, the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It has 1080p full HD, images so clear you won't miss a thing, night vision, and two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products and make them accessible to everyone. Check your home from anywhere with Wyze's app livestream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. If you go away for a couple hours and you have to run some errands, you can do things like making sure your food sitting around the stove for a couple hours keeps going and isn't boiling over while you're away. You can watch your plants grow through a time lapse. Or if you have a pet and you want to make sure your dog is doing okay and you have to leave for a couple hours, you can check in on it with Wyze. And if you want more, they have that too. For just $10 more, Wyze's Can Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast, so your camera should too. You can patrol your room with Pan Scan and set the camera's patrol route up to 4 custom waypoints. This works with Alexa, and it has free rolling 14-day cloud storage. So go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Go check out Wyze today at wyze.com. That is wyze.com/locked. Hi, I'm Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers, and in a crossover episode of both the Locked On Network and the SB Nation family, it's Brennan Kleen with me from Locked On Suns and Bright Side of the Sun. Brennan, what's up, man?
Doing well. Really happy the season's over. I don't know if you share that, but I am
ecstatic. I feel bad saying this because playoff basketball is great, and I have the best memories, like getting to cover 2 finals and everything. But like, I'm super ready to be on a normal sleep schedule. Like, I got 7 hours
and
not
Wednesday. Have to deal with chaos on a daily basis.
Oh yeah, it's just like I get to go to bed at a normal time. Like I can like watch the game without having to like think about how late I'm gonna have to stay up to like get all my work done, and like, it's just like kind of nice. And like, I'm sure like covering playoff teams is more fun, and there's like more engagement, and like, you know, it there's a different tone to it. But it's just like I'm kind of ready. I'm a little burnt out. That might just be because I like need to like maybe manage my time better. Like maybe this is a like a referendum on me, but it's also like I'm just like ready for like a little break. Like I'm pretty good.
Same boat. Yeah, I'm ready to not go to the arena for a while.
Yes,
like
yes.
Just the little things. I'm all done with it.
Well, so when you also come, so you also are lucky enough that you have a WNBA team in your backyard. I like actually really wish that the like Cleveland used to have the Rockers. I wish they still did, because like I would really like to. That's just like a more fun league. The games are more spaced out. It's not I shouldn't say more fun, because I think they're both very, very fun in different ways. The game's a little more spaced out, you know, and I just like
college basketball. Yeah, you got like 2 games a week, sometimes 3.
Yeah, which is just like that's a much like more like that's better for me selfishly. Like I just like want like less like nights where I get home at like 2 in the morning or something. But like, it's also just like you get like that tease in the middle of the summer and like get back in the fold a little bit, but don't have to like go full on. Like I wish I had that. Are you going to be like doing like on-site stuff? Plus you get Diana Taurasi in your backyard, which is just incredible.
Yeah. It's definitely a privilege. And speaking like we are about to about bad basketball and terrible circumstances, the Mercury are the exact opposite. So that's definitely great. I mean, she's one of the best basketball players of all time and still kind of in her prime, as crazy as that sounds, almost age 40 for her. So yeah, I'll be there just about every game, so that'll be fun. But I'm sure the Suns will keep me plenty occupied with their shenanigans as well.
All right, so what Brennan and I are going to get into today is on Friday, we will finally get the, because they both finish with the second worst record in the league, I think 19 wins each, the Cavs and the Suns are going to have a tiebreaker. It'll just basically be randomly done to decide which of the teams will finish with the second. They'll have the second best odds in the draft. So they'll have the same odds, obviously, because of the lottery changes, 1 through 3, them and the Knicks. But whoever falls to 3 could fall as far as 7th. The Sun and whoever is the second, who is the second worst odds, basically, or second best odds, could only fall as far as 6. Now, that isn't, something that I think is like necessarily a huge deal. But if you look at the pick odds from Tankathon, so the second team could fall, there's a 20% chance about that they could fall to number 6. And if you're the third worst odds, you would have a 7.1% chance of falling to number 7 and a 26% chance of falling to number 6. Now, Brennan, I want to say I don't really have like a good idea of like how this lottery adjustments are really going to change. Like, I just can't really like quite, it's like too random for us to figure out exactly sort of where these teams are most likely going to fall for the most part. But for you, if the Suns like did fall out of, let's just start with this. If you're the team you cover, the Phoenix Suns, did fall to like 6 or 7, would that be like a disaster for them?
I would say no, but maybe I'm already too far into comparing it to various other situations. I mean, I almost think unless it's a catastrophic decision, if you have somebody on your team that you feel like you should max, and it's at least somewhat understood that you should do that, it's a good situation, right? So the Suns already have Devin Booker. That's the guy they max and the number one pick. So ideally that should be their core. So they shouldn't be counting on this pick. I don't think they were planning to be in this situation by any means. So I think kind of all signs point to this shouldn't matter. But at the same time, the reason they were supposed to be better was this talent was supposed to get them there and it didn't. So they obviously need more. And they definitely would love to get a couple more players in there. But need, I would say no.
So is there a guy, though, that if you could say, like, guarantee they get a top 3 pick or something, or a top 4 pick, is there like a guy in the lottery that you just think like would actually fit their needs like perfectly, that like if they get slotted in a certain spot, that there's just one guy that you're like, this guy would be perfect for what they need?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Zion, right? I mean,
well, okay, but like in the non-Zion category, okay, right? Like, I think everyone in the world, like even like the Hawks are like very obviously very well set, right? Like they have Trey, they have John Collins, like they have Kevin Herter. They get Zion, like, that's a whole other thing. Like, and then sure, the non-Zion category, is there, like, a guy you're like, this would be really good for this team?
Well, Suns fans are really excited about John Morant, and I think that's mostly because we just haven't had a point guard here in so long, and it's just impacted everything. Just watching the team has been miserable as a result of that. So I would say it's probably him, just positionally. Now, I'm not in love with him either, and I think you quickly start to get into a larger conversation about trades and all kinds of craziness there. And I think that does get into a little bit of kind of the stakes on lottery night, and I guess you could even say on Friday for this team. But I think Morant's probably the guy I would point to just because he does a little bit of what the Suns need. He's going to be a pretty incredible passer at the NBA level when you get into space and play a little faster and all that. So he's the guy for me, but I'm not in love with him.
Ja's a guy that Cavs fans talk about too, and him and Sexton just scares the shit out of me. Like, I would stay a bajillion years away from really pairing those two.
Yeah, I mean, Sexton's defense would be helpful with a guy like Morant, but other than that, I mean, it's
he's
tough.
I think they'd both be like bad on ball defenders for like a long time, and they're both kind of small. Like, Ja's 6'3", but like he's 170, like he's not particularly big. Okay, so you and I talked about this like briefly before, and I think like you sort of hit that argument. But if you were going to make the argument that the Suns need a top, like a kind of to keep their pick higher more, what is the argument for Phoenix like needing to pick higher in this draft? Like, what is the reason that they actually might need it more? It's obviously like not something that will factor into the ping pong balls. That will be pure math.
Who knows?
Like,
if we talk loud enough or upload enough podcasts about it, maybe
it'll will it into existence.
Things.
I mean, I'm pro like give me the chaos lottery. Like, that is really what I'm here for. But why would Phoenix like really say like they need this more than the Cavs if these two teams are tied in their theoretical draft odds right now?
Okay, well, while we were sitting here, I came up with two, if we're just comparing these two teams, reasons why. And the first one is the Suns have already had to suffer through falling twice. They fell, I think, actually three times, if I'm remembering things correctly here. The Alex Len draft, which was also the Nerlens Noel draft, they fell to five, the Suns did. And that was already a crappy draft. Len was a fine player. They didn't even keep him after his first contract. Then 2017, they fall to four. They have the second best odds. Everybody here is in love with Lonzo Ball at that point. Now, De'Aaron Fox looks incredible from that draft. But either way, they fall to four, pick Josh Jackson, who has been one of the worst players in the NBA. So that's a bad one. And then 2016, the year before that, they also fell to number four. And that was when they ended up with Dragan Bender, who has also been one of the worst players in the NBA during his time. So that would be one. And the second one would be, I think the owner, we could probably have like an entire podcast series debating which of our owners is worse.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Dan Gilbert, to my knowledge, has not sent a goat to shit in his general manager's office.
There you go.
So,
okay.
That's like check mark number one of like, like maybe has a bad track record, and like the letter in Comic Sans was like very bad, but like did not send a goat to GM's office. Check.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say is, Phoenix has never been saved by anybody being born here that happens to be the best player ever. So that part, I think, is kind of a tick mark in their column as well.
Yeah, I think those things are fair. So here, my rebuttal to this is, look, the Suns have Devin Booker, okay? He is really good. And I am in the – I don't know how much, like, this is something that happens on Twitter. He seems like he gets pushed to the side a little bit, and I know like his defensive numbers are bad and everything, but like I'm in the pro Devin Booker camp. Like, that dude's still really young. I would not be motivated to play defense in that situation, frankly. He's a really good scorer already. Like, that dude's really, really good. You got DeAndre Ayton already. DeAndre Ayton, I think, got overshadowed a little bit, and you can speak to this better than me because you saw him play much more often than I did. But I think, like, that dude's good, and even if he maybe, like, shouldn't have been the number one in a vacuum in last year's draft, like, and the Suns just pick number one, he's good, and, like, that's another building block. You have Mikal Bridges, and yes, you missed on Marquese Chriss. Shout out to the guy Larry Nance Jr. calls Chris Adilla, I think is what he called him, which is, like, a kind of a bad nickname, but I'll let it pass. And you got, you know, you missed on Bender, but you got Mikal Bridges, you know, Makobo. I like what I saw from him in some minutes. You got Devin Booker, you got Ayton. Like, there's a foundation there. You know, maybe Josh Jackson isn't going to work out, but like, he's another dude. And like, this draft, even if you pick a little bit lower, like, there are some guys that seem that could help them. The big argument is like, you already have Ayton and you already have Booker. Like, that's a better, those are two foundation pieces that are, I think, both better than what the Cavs have in terms of their young talent. And it's not, I don't know how, like, Sexton is, like, interesting, but, like, Ayton and Booker, I think, are both ahead of him in terms of where, if you're going to pick one of them to help start your team, I think they're both pretty clearly ahead of Sexton at this point.
I would agree. I think there's a more interesting Colin Sexton conversation, just because it gets into, like, what type of player you value more and all that. That's been interesting thinking about all rookie teams. But the fact that we're talking about perhaps the Suns' third core player compared to the number one guy as far as that goes in Cleveland, I think it exactly gets into your point there. And I was obviously talking about more deep-seated, like, fan qualms and miseries, but right now I think I have to admit I'm on board with Cleveland clearly needs the talent more desperately, and that's partially because they've just started their rebuild, right? The Suns probably deserve it less from the basketball gods standpoint if we're talking about jinxing the lottery, because they've had eight cracks at this now and can't seem to get it together.
And in terms of, like, look, the Cavs have had a lot of number one picks. I'm not going to dispute that. So you get Kyrie, you know, they picked Ty for a long time. I'm just saying,
like, how you skipped Anthony Bennett. That's fine.
Well, we're going to get there. He is the introduction. I have a clip of Anthony Bennett saying, like, "Welcome to the Fear the Sword podcast," that runs on Trevor Bagnani's draft podcast in our
that's beautiful,
which is an incredible find. Shout out to Tim Cato for getting that for us. I don't know how he did it, but I pulled that from my email archives and I was just like, this is beautiful. So I'm gonna run through the Cavs draft history real quick and run through like this, and just in terms of, like, I've seen people make the argument that the Cavs don't deserve a high pick, or like specifically number one pick, because like they won a title, like they won all these picks already and didn't do well with them. But I'm gonna just say, like, when you mess up as much as they did,
Are we about to do who drafted worse?
Yes.
Because I'm ready.
So the Cavs got Kyrie, which is like a good pick at number one. Then they proceeded to take Deion Waiters, which like did not work. They proceeded to trade Jay Crowder for Tyler Zeller, which like why? They took Anthony Bennett. They took Serge Karasev, who's like not even clear, not in the league anymore. Don't even know where that dude is. They had Alan Crabb, traded him. Because and Alan Crabb's like overpaid, but he's like not a not useful player. They in the 2014 draft, they take Andrew Wiggins, who like, yes, they traded him for Kevin Love, but like if you're talking about like what the player turned out to be, like Andrew Wiggins is bad. Okay. Then you get Joe Harris. You got a guy that like theoretically made sense, and like, yes, they didn't like they were maybe as patient with Joe Harris as should have been. Joe Harris is good. And then, you know, they get Colin Sexton, and they don't really have any other, like, notable picks after that. Like, they get Jetty because they took Tyus Jones and flipped him to Minnesota. But, like, aside from Kyrie and Tristan, there's not, like, picks that actually have panned out for the Cavs in a way since 2011. Like, they don't have a guy on their roster besides, I mean, Sexton, of course, obviously, it looks like he's going to pan out. But 2011 to 2017, and they didn't have picks in 2016 or 2017. There's not a guy on the roster from those years that, like, is, like, a meaningful part of the Cavs. Like, this team just, like, actually needs, like, young talent because they have literally, like, Colin Sexton was, like, the most rare thing for them.
Yeah, so, I mean, from the Suns' perspective, 2015... They draft Devin Booker, clearly a home run at 13, one of the youngest guys in the draft, the first 4 years of his career, probably gone about as well individually as you could hope for it. Everything else, I think you could make the case was a bad decision. So Len, I already mentioned, not a pretty defensible pick considering the 2013 draft was garbage, but TJ Warren the next year, who the Suns just don't seem to like. I don't really understand what's going on there, but has been basically shut down to finish both of the past two seasons, despite improving his game considerably. So maybe there's some personality stuff, or who knows? He's a very quiet dude. The 2016 draft, they trade Bogdan Bogdanovic, who every team in the league would love to have, just perfect six-man type of combo guard. And in addition to that, they get Marquese Chriss, who we Cavs fans I'm sure know already.
Legend,
Legend, yes. Missed it. All that. Dragan Bender, who I already mentioned, and Tyler Ulis. So if Bender hadn't gone on a little bit of a tear, so to speak, relative to his expectations at the end of the season, I think you could have seen all three of the Suns' 2016 picks be out of the league by next season. Ulis is already out of the league. And Chris, I expect to have a very long path back. And Bender maybe gets a one-year deal this summer. 2017, the other two guys, Davon Reed and Alec Peters, both basically teetering. Alec Peters is already in Europe. Davon Reed is on a two-way with Indiana, if I remember correctly. And then 2018 saved them. And Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton both, I think, have all-star upside. So there's definitely a lot to build from there. But if 2018 goes differently, it's very ugly. And a lot of these guys just aren't even playing NBA basketball anymore. But I guess the same could be said for Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins is this whole other animal, but it's shoddy. It's really rough.
So isn't Anthony Bennett playing for the Suns G League team? Like not like signed to them?
He had been, but I don't know if he did this year. I had not paid attention, but the past couple of seasons, yes.
Which is just hilarious. Okay, so let's kind of towards the end of this. So what does it say about these two teams that like they just literally can't draft young talent? Like it's really hard, and I get that drafting is like hard, but like is there something like that you feel like there's like maybe a connecting line in how these two teams have done it? I feel like it sort of goes back to what we hit on at the beginning, like that maybe there just isn't like that great decision-making nexus, but in place in these organizations. But like, it's pretty clear that like considering neither of them really, except for the Cavs and getting LeBron back and whatever, they don't really sign dudes. So it's just like you have to draft well, and they just haven't for reasons that are like not totally like linear or like the same, but it's like, yeah, these two teams are really defined by how crappy they've drafted in the last decade.
I would say, yeah, it's simple to just say the owner, but I think that's a little bit lazy analysis. And we try not to do that on our show. I'm sure you do the same thing. I think really what it is like, you think about the teams that draft well, or develop talent well or both. And they have an identity, right? Like I do the mock draft at FanSided every week and I know for maybe 10 teams, it's super easy. I know exactly what type of player they're going to target from a psychological standpoint or just a skill standpoint. And then there's a lot of teams where I have no idea, and I think the Cavs and the Suns probably are two that fall into that category, just because there's not a culture there that you can point to. There's not a type of guy that you know would fit in this situation. So I think that's a big part of it. I think that's a lot of why it's been such a struggle. I mean, maybe the answer is neither of these teams really deserve a higher pick. I think what we're debating here is which one needs it worse, right?
Yeah, and I think the answer is like they both like super need it.
Yeah, the Suns would love to have another good player because they can't seem to keep any of the ones that they draft because they're not good enough by the time they're out of here. So the revolving door would make, or the history would make you think that they didn't need it, but the revolving door would say otherwise.
So, Robert, on this, you do the mock draft for the step back. I'll link to your latest one in the show notes, listeners. But is there a guy that you actually like for the Cavs in a vacuum? Like, obviously not knowing exactly where they're going to pick. Is there anyone in your draft evaluations that you do think would kind of, that does appeal to you, regardless of, there isn't that like that quote unquote Cavs type player that's out there, but is there a guy that you sort of like how he might fit that is going to be available at some point in the lottery?
I would say, we've talked about this a little bit before too. Jarrett Culver, I think, would be the one for me. And
yeah,
I think
I agree.
A big part of it is you, and I think about this with Phoenix a lot too, you want a guy who has that internal motivation, right? You want a guy with a hard work ethic. That guy was not a big recruit. He grew up next to the school he went to at Texas Tech and helped build that team into a team we were seeing in the championship game. So that's huge with a franchise that is chaotic and doesn't have stability, is to have a guy, I think Devin Booker falls in this category too, who's just going to get better no matter what.
I get there's a profile that Brian Hamilton from The Athletic wrote where he kind of talked about how Jarrett Culver like improved and like, you know, tried to make something out of himself. And like, I got the same vibe that like you get from Colin Sexton, that the dude just like loves to play basketball and just like loves to work. And like, that's just like part of what he does. And that's like just part of his DNA. And I think that's really appealing. I think the reason that, like, I think if the Cavs did slip a little bit, that I wouldn't totally freak out. It's, like, not ideal, I guess, but if they fell to, like, 7 and they could get, like, Kobe White, I think I'd probably think they get out of the draft okay. That's, like, the other thing. That, like, if they did slip, I feel like there are, like, safety valves. Like, if they took DeAndre Hunter or, like, Kobe White at 7, I don't feel, like, super freaked out by it.
I think even if the Cavs, if anyone falls to 4 or 5, I think Hunter's a solid pick. That was the other one I was thinking about. I just don't, you know, you probably want a little more upside high in the draft, especially if you're a team like the Cavs that just kind of needs some talent there. I would be a little more inclined to go with a Culver or even an RJ Barrett. I just RJ worries me because I think he likes being good at basketball. You know what I mean? Like, I think he likes to compete and dominate, and it's going to be tough for that to happen early in his career. So I'm fascinated by him, but I don't necessarily know if one of these, you know, franchises in a rut is necessarily the place to go for him.
Yeah, him and if I was either of these teams, I would rather have him than Ja based on fit, though. That's the thing.
I don't like Barrett and Phoenix just because I think you can make the games work with guys who can shoot and pass, but just defensively, size wise, kind of overlap and dominating the ball, I don't know if I love it, but I guess dominating the ball wise, you're kind of running into the same stuff with Sexton, so I see it.
Is there a guy you would take it to if you're Phoenix? Like, if they ended up at 2?
This is unpopular and kind of lazy because it's such a thing you can't predict, but I've been in the camp, even Ja doesn't stand out enough to me. I would try to trade that pick for something else at that point. I think for me, with how many just bodies the Suns already have in here, I would be looking long and hard at, you know, veteran point guards or veteran power forwards, guys that can help the team in the future for a little while, rather than Jaws. Just, they have 4 years to develop that guy. I don't know if they do. I think the Cavs do if that were to happen. Not that I love that fit, but I just don't think the Suns can wait anymore.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what the Cavs are going to approach. And I wonder if a team, like, it's going to be interesting because if, like, Atlanta, like, ends up with, like, a slightly later pick and, like, the 5th pick and they, like, love someone at 2, like, does it make sense for these teams to, like, trade back, and I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. I can't wait. I really wish the draft lottery was like now. I get why they wait, but I like just want it.
It's going to be one of the craziest nights in recent memory with the Anthony Davis stakes involved and bad teams, basically only one great player. It's going to be chaotic and beautiful.
I can't wait. You can find Brendan on the Locked On Suns podcast at Bright Side of the Sun, and you can find his mock draft over at the Step Back, where he and Trevor Magnotti are leading the draft culture. But Brendan, man, thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks again to Brendan for coming on. Thanks again to you, the listener, for listening and supporting the show. We'll be back later on Friday night / early Saturday with a recap of what Kobe Altman had to say. I have a day job, so unfortunately will not be able to recap that press conference immediately, but we'll get to it as soon as I can and give you guys the insight onto what the Cavs GM has to say. But we'll talk to then, and thanks as always for listening to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers.